Del Aware. News and issues for the First State. Here's Peter MacArthur.
Welcome in to Wednesday, July 8th, here on Del Aware. I'm Peter MacArthur. Nice to have you this morning. You know, had you tuned into this very show, say, a year ago, on this very day, chances are it would have been hosted by my colleague Alan Ludell. You know the name, you know the voice, and Alan passed away yesterday. And since we've been talking a lot about Alan, his amazing work on the air, his amazing persona off the air, and it's interesting. I worked with Alan Ludell here for 15 years. I knew him for about 20 years, and that's actually a very strange introduction I had to Alan. It's funny. It was about 20 years ago. I was living in Pennsylvania with my wife, and we decided where we were was not where we wanted to be, necessarily. She got a job selling TV in Philadelphia. I looked in Philadelphia, didn't see a lot along the lines of what I was looking to do. But I did see, in Delaware, not one, but two job openings in radio news. One here at WDEL, one at WILM. So I got a little crafty and said to myself, you know, I'm going to take a road trip to Delaware. So I called up my now boss, Chris Carl. I also called up that day, 20 years ago, one Alan Ludell, and arranged to do job interviews with both on the same day in a road trip. What I also did that day was drove to Delaware and for the first time experienced the 95-495 split. Okay? I had not a cell phone, I wouldn't call it. I'd call it a mobile phone at the time. Remember those real clunky things you could knock someone out with if you needed to? Unfortunately, the battery life on that thing was well beyond the scope of my trip. So it was dead by the time I got to the 495-95 split and realized I wasn't exactly sure which way to go. So I, of course, picked the wrong direction and ended up, I think, in Maryland before I realized, okay, this is not Wilmington. I'm pretty sure about that. Ultimately, I had arranged to talk with Alan first, okay? Interview with Alan first that day. That interview was pretty much over by the time I got to a phone and was able to call him and said, you know, listen, I'm not going to be able to make it. I ran into some quote-unquote issues traveling there, and I apologize. I was able to, albeit very late, talk with Chris Carl that day. And some weeks later, was working here at WDEL, as fate would have it, where I'm broadcasting from right now. So ultimately, Alan was very gracious and understanding. He even said to me, I'll be honest, there's really not a lot of salary money here. And in part, I realized that was because there were some 20 people they had on the payroll at WILM, unheard of at the time, but under the umbrella and the tutelage of Alan Ludell. And so that's why they didn't have a lot of money. And so it actually worked out very well on my end. And not for nothing, I think Alan was fine with it as well because, you know, he was already well established here. He didn't need me under him in any way, shape, or form. Turns out a few months later, they tell me here they're going to change a little bit, tweak the morning show into more of a newsy kind of thing, more of a news block. And you're going to anchor that, they said to me. At which point I realized that I would be coming up against Alan Ludell. And I started to really listen intently in that period between when they made the announcement and when it started, listening to Alan and said to myself, this guy is amazing on the air. I'd never heard anyone approach news as he did. Anyone who put such an emphasis on bringing the world into the audience that he was talking to. It was quite something, and it was daunting, to say the least. Now, I'll say this, WILM has a smaller signal than WDEL. We were able to kind of maintain in terms of ratings with Alan and his show, but he was just a force. And I was not some cub reporter who was easily impressed necessarily, but he was just an amazing talent. Fast forward 5 years from then, Alan comes to work here. And this is when I got to know Alan behind the scenes as well. And he was a very incredible person, very smart man. Was he a genius? I don't know. I think maybe in some of the areas that he had real interest in, he knew more about foreign governments and flags and stamps and butterflies than anybody I ever met, and probably more than most of the people you know as well. I think probably in those areas, he certainly had some kind of genius at work. But here's the thing. He was definitely a smart man across the board. Smart enough to know a few things. Smart enough to realize that while he could have gotten away with, say, coming in a half hour before each of the shows he did and going through the motions and doing the interviews and walking back away, he didn't do it that way. I would host this morning show. I'd be in here at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. The second person through the door for the brunt of my time doing this show, Delaware's Morning News, the second person in would be Alan Ludell. Now, he would go on the air for a while. It was at noon. So he was in here 5.5, 6.5 hours before his show because he was getting on the phone with overseas correspondents and contacts to make sure that he was bringing you here in Delaware the world. Again, just an unheard of commitment to the job. No one worked harder than the man. He was smart enough to realize that his success, his credibility kind of lied in the fact that there was show prep to be done. And he was going to get up at the crack of dawn to start the wheels on that because, again, it's midday over in many of the places that he was trying to call, and that was a good time to reach out to people. Also, it was interesting to watch him off the mic. He could have been, you know, a very kind of uptight guy. He had the cred to do that. He wasn't that at all. It's just the opposite. Very reserved. He, I think, really enjoyed interacting with people and listening to what they had to say is kind of the impression I got from him. You know, it was interesting because he and Rick Jensen had an office together, which in and of itself is an interesting dynamic, I must say, because the room was not that big. And thank God they sat back to back with each other because it kind of kept their political disagreements at bay to some degree. They were both gentlemen about it, but you could hear it escalate some days. But walking by his office, what was a great treat is to see him in there. And he'd be kicked back in his chair, arms across his chest, talking to maybe it's a producer, maybe it's a young reporter or an intern. You know, and what you saw there was, I think, what he saw as his responsibility to maybe pass down some of the things he'd learned over time on a topic or an approach to news to people that hadn't been in the business as long as he had. But he also listened to younger reporters and interns, I think, quite intently. I think he saw a real value in getting their impressions then that he could use as fuel for his show. So a two-way street with him, which was somewhat surprising to me. I figured this was a man who had it all figured out. What does he need any outside influences for along those lines? But he also, I'm sure, remember his high school journalist nights, which were great, where he called in high school kids and got their impressions of the issues of the day. You know, he saw that they were the up-and-coming generation who deserved to be heard. And he was the one that was going to listen. Very, very unique approach in that respect, too. Now, he wasn't a prankster. He didn't fool around a lot. But he would pop in from his office into the newsroom several times a day, asking questions or inquiries or whatnot. And in the news business, things can get a little intense sometimes. And so you'll find in the newsroom to offset that, there'll be some dialogue and some jokes going on and ultimately some laughter. And Alan would ultimately walk in right at that time, just kind of look at everybody, the five or six of us that were in there, and say the famous terminology, frivolity, with a knowing kind of uncle look. He wasn't our boss, but it was kind of like he was saying, you know, let's remember the task at hand here, people, with a smile on his face. And he was a wonderful person along those lines as well. A lot of people right now in this climate we find ourselves in, it's a bit volatile. And a lot of people have a lot of opinions about a lot of things. And I just hope that people in Delaware realize, you know, I've worked in a couple other markets. Alan Ludell was a gift, really, to all of us here. You know, he brought a lot of things to the forefront, a lot of things to the table, a lot of things to the airwaves you wouldn't hear anywhere else in a local market. And the fact that he did it for as long as he did and as well as he did is testament to his talent. The fact that he didn't leave Delaware, testament to, I think, his character. He loved this place. He was an Illinois guy that took on Delaware as his second home, and us all and you as his second family. So I think if he was listening now over my shoulder, he'd be saying, okay, enough with this. The show must go on. And he'd be right. So we'll get that done. But just a quick toast to you, sir, Alan Ludell, on a life well lived.